Like I said, yes, it is to engage, it's to retain, it's to attract, it's be a great place to work, but it has to be directly designed to enable your specific company performance. So for instance, Google, and Google's culture cannot be taken and put into another organization. Google is able to have that culture because it supports exactly their business strategy, their mission, their vision, their strategy. So it has to be tailored. And that's what I love about what we do is that it's tailored each time differently, but depending on what your organization, mission, vision, strategy is about.
You are listening to the Culture Coach Podcast. This is the place where CEOs and people-first leaders come to boost productivity, extinguish burnout, and cultivate a vibrant culture that reflects a fully integrated mission, vision, and core values. Get ready to take your culture to the next level. I am your host, Wendy Brand. Hi, welcome back to the Culture Coach Podcast. I'm Wendy Brand, your host. And if you are a CEO focused on growing your business, or a leader navigating a large transformation, and you understand the value of being intentional about culture through this change, then this episode is for you. This is one of my favorite conversations because it really is the intersection of two of my passion topics, change and culture. My guest today for this conversation is Emily McQueen. Emily is currently the Vice President of Talent Enablement, Development, and Employee Experience at New Rocket. Now, New Rocket is a global tech company with just over 500 employees, but Emily has worked for larger organizations with as many as 40,000 global employees. Her expertise in this area is decades deep. She was working in the talent transformation space before it was cool, or at least before I knew it was cool. In her day-to-day, Emily partners with executive leadership on things like strategizing and executing performance, learning and development, career planning, talent reviews, promotion cycles. She leads a team of more than 25 HR professionals, and she really helps leaders leverage talent strategies, employee experience, and organizational culture to enable hypergrowth, business transformations, mergers and acquisitions, and turnarounds. She and I had the opportunity to work together at another organization, and it wasn't until working with her and my former leader at the time, Tracy Palmer, who is also a rock star in this field, that I truly began to understand how to operationalize culture. I didn't even get into HR until 2008 or 2009. I had spent over a decade in the sports industry and operations leadership. Became a CEO for a local nonprofit, and then came over to tech in an operations role and was pulled into HR to lead a technology implementation. But once I got there and began to see the people side of things with my operation lens, everything started to click for me. So I'm actually going to do a three-part series with Emily, where we start in this episode by talking about just overall organizational transformation and the importance of not taking your eye off of culture in these times of change. Then we'll cover a critical conversation, which is the manager's role in change and in culture. And there's also a side in that conversation about authenticity and having an authentic culture. You're going to really enjoy that episode. And then we have an episode on employee engagement and retention. So I hope you're as excited to hear these conversations as I was to have them. Here's the first part of our three-part series. I hope you enjoy. Today, we have Emily McQueen with us on the Culture Coach Podcast. Emily, I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. I am really excited to be here. It's absolutely a topic that I love to talk about, especially with you.
Yes. So today we're talking about organizational transformation. And so I have one of the experts on all things talent strategy, employee engagement, culture, really one of the people that I learned from. I'm so glad you're here to talk transformation. So Emily, tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
I have 25 years of global experience translating business strategies into comprehensive people strategies that rally employees behind organizational direction. And what I love about our field of expertise is the ability to align and connect talent management, engagement, culture practices and programs, like you talked about, in the whole employee life cycle for not only meaningful employee experiences, but really staying in lockstep with the business, enabling organizational performance. Because yes, it's about meaningful employee experiences, but when you get to the nitty-gritty of it, it really is about setting the company up for success to reach their performance objectives.
I love that. And so many organizations, I don't believe, know that there are things that you can put in place in order for that to happen. I mean, yes, it's happening naturally, but there are things that you can put in place to allow that organic culture to grow. And so when we think about, I mean, organizational transformation is just, it's happening every, you know, all the time. And what are some reasons why a company would attempt to make an intentional shift in their culture?
I love how you say intentional, because it is very intentional. And this is a shift that has happened in the last 10 years of OD field of expertise. So speaking to the purpose of culture, and like I said, yes, it is to engage, it's to retain, it's to attract, it's be a great place to work, but it has to be directly designed to enable your specific company performance. So for instance, Google, you know, and Google's culture cannot be taken and put into another organization. Google is able to have that culture because it supports exactly their business strategy, their mission, their vision, their strategy. So it has to be tailored. And that's what I love about what we do, is that it's tailored each time differently, but depending on what your organization mission, vision, strategy is about. And so to answer your question, when HR or business leaders are seeing lack of clarity and direction, or employees not rallying around the direction, or there's low engagement scores, or there's poor company performance, you're not attracting what I like to call the fit for purpose talent. So the talent that you need to achieve your business imperatives. So for instance, you know, you may be recruiting fantastic sales executives, but you're not recruiting your system engineers or your product scientists. So it's looking at why, who's your audience and what are they seeking that you are needing, particularly with the talent that you're looking for. So all of these are indicators that one or more of your cultural touch points aren't aligned or aren't enabling business or employee performance.
And so how does a CEO know if their culture is in need of a change?
I think probably getting down to the number one thing is that employees aren't aligned with the business direction. You know, it's kind of like the boiling pot, you know, it's a slow boil. So it's a slow shift, or it can be a really quick transformation. Both of those need real focus on shifting the culture. And so I'll give you an example. I was with an organization and it was 3 years post-merger. And so when they were bringing two companies, very large companies together, the whole business strategy was about one company. So the best brands, the best talent, the best strategies, the best practices and programs. And so we went through this whole integration and for, you know, 2 years, very, very successful in building one organization and bringing everything together with one strategy. But as you know, it of course is evolving, and they were needing to evolve to a much more customer focus strategy and business plan. And so as they moved their business strategy forward, what was happening is they couldn't understand why employees weren't moving forward. They were still talking about the same old things. They felt stuck in the past and not moving forward with the strategy. And so what I was able to show is that the reason why is you move the strategy forward and evolve that, but the culture stayed still aligned with the, you know, the immediately post-merger strategy. And so what we had to do was unpack all of those pieces and move them to align to the new evolving strategy. So a quick example, you know, one small thing was in the culture, there is great recognition program. So it wasn't about changing the program per se, but it was what you recognize. So there was always recognition of teamwork and so forth. And what the executives were saying is teamwork is great, but we need people focused on the customer. And so we needed to change what was being recognized, because as you know, what's recognized gets done.
Yes.
And so so shifting certain things like that is what then helps employees, you know, understand and change their mindset of, okay, this is what I'm going to be valued for now. Not that, again, teamwork isn't valued across the board, but now my focus is also generating that customer centric mindset and behaviors.
Yes. And so one of the things you said when you were talking about like being able to take Google's culture and put it in another organization and why that doesn't work is because maybe their core values, their mission, their vision is different than an organization's. And so you build that culture around those values and that mission and vision. And so probably, like, just to break it down and unpack it a little bit, I'm guessing that when they shifted to the customer focus, that's a shift of vision, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It was a shift of their mission still stayed the same, but their right. vision, their strategy shifted. We even ended up changing one of the core values.
Okay.
And even down to just the engagement events that they had, instead of supporting, you know, like, for instance, if there was a community event, and so it was getting a tent together, and we really, you know, the whole thing was about the bringing people together, we realized, okay, that's a lot of money. And while that's a great, you know, activity, it's not supporting customer focus. So instead, it's not like we eliminated the event, but we shifted the focus of the event. So the event was then bringing in things that represented our customers and mm-hmm. brought people into understanding who our customers were. And then that, you know, so it was still getting together, but the focus and the purpose of it was different.
Okay. I love that. And I also, when you talked about the mergers, you know, I've been through a couple of those myself. And just again, to kind of unpack and break that down and talk the tactical pieces, if we have leaders that are going through this today, I know the exercise that we went through, and I'm curious if yours was the same, where we looked across the employee lifecycle and identified what are the processes, what are the people processes that impact, I mean, everything from policies and procedures to
exactly
to your point, the cultural touch points, the onboarding, what are all of those employee lifecycle processes? How do they look different in each organization that we're bringing together? What do we want to keep? What stays the same? And then how do we get them all on the same page?
Yeah. And also what, you know, it may be that, like you said, what do you want to keep or change,
yeah.
or it may be something that you end up adding because bringing these two organizations together, there's something that they hadn't had before.
Yes.
And so, yeah, so it's that, especially when you bring two companies together, it may be hard. Usually you have, you know, a bench organization, and you may merge into that one, you know, the culture and so forth. So that's a different type of transformation or integration mm-hmm. transition that you have to have, you know, employees go through. But when you're bringing two together and creating a new one, that's engaging right. because both of them are feeling like they're starting something new. And you're able to create something that completely aligns with the new direction of the organization. Yeah.
That makes sense. My experience was more around the acquisition and less kind of the merger.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I like that differentiator. Okay. Well, let's talk about company transformation, since it's really becoming more prevalent and the cultures are being left behind, you know, as mm-hmm. we were just talking about, if you're not intentional about it. So what changes have you seen in the way that companies experience organizational transformation really over the last two decades?
I think the speed in which business is going in terms of, you know, in the AI, the data explosion, the convenience of things, the ability to get information quickly. So all of those things continue to speed up the transformation well, the speed in which businesses need to keep up with the marketplace, need to keep up with, are their products still relevant? Do they need to shift their strategy? What is their competition doing? So it's, you know, there's a study by McKinsey recently that said that one third of organizations are going through transformation at any point in time. So one third of organizations. So, you know, sometimes we feel like, gosh, I want to be with an organization that's not changing. It's like, well, if they're not right now, they probably will be. Global CEOs were asked, you know, how many have you been through? And they were saying at least 2 to 3 in the last 5 years. So even CEOs are feeling that chain. We call it that change exhaustion, but it's becoming a way of life that we just have to learn to be able to not get so exhausted by it, but be able to be resilient through it. Yes. But the other thing that's changed is how fast organizations are doing it. So instead of, you know, we have a full year to get ready for this change, it's no longer those days. You know, I remember when it was 6 months to go to get ready for either a transformation or even a restructure. Now it's, you've got 4 weeks. And so even with big, extensive changes, you know, it's, we've got 4 weeks, 6 weeks, and we're on the run. So not only how frequent it's going on, but also how fast it's having to be done. And I always like to look at that Denison model, where it talks about from, you know, you have to be looking externally at the marketplace. So are we listening to the marketplace? And that is changing so much that then you have to constantly be looking at internally, where is our mission, our vision, our strategy, is that aligning still with the marketplace and what our customers and clients are needed, which then means you have to then shift your culture, your talent management programs, like you said, your policies, your practices, all of that to make sure it stays aligned and engage and take your employees through that process. Mm-hmm. And so that is now a very quick process that organizations are having to do. And I think a lot of times employees get so angry at the organization, like, here comes another change, without realizing there's a reason and there's always a reason and a purpose, but it's not because we're, you know, we just want to. It's because something is driving that, and there has to be a shift in order for the business to be successful.
Yeah. And I mean, I remember 10 years ago now, probably, our colleague Deanna and I were sent out to go get certified in change management because we were experiencing in the tech company that we were at, like, just continued change. And right. we knew that it was becoming more and more of just a way of life. And so the speed at which we're asked to change is just unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then what do leaders need to do differently, do you think, to lead through change in these new times?
I think one is helping employees understand how the change process is different today, and not, you know, necessarily speaking in our, you know, words that we have in HR.
Right.
But if you look at organizational psychology, they study how individuals change and then how organizations as well. And it used to be very similar. But what is happening is, because of the speed, organizations are having to do it differently. And so if you think about how someone creates a particular behavior and an action, they form a belief, which is based on an assumption or, you know, something they see or, you know, whatever. And they create that belief, and then that helps their mindset, that changes or establishes a mindset, and that creates an attitude. And then from that comes behavior. And if you think about it throughout your life, be it your own beliefs, how you form them through your family or how you were raised or, you know, different things in your life, that's a sustainable, you know, that really makes a sustainable action or behavior. Mm-hmm. But it also takes a long time to do. It's a very slow process. How businesses used to do it in the past is that same way. So they used to, you know, share why it's being done. What is the purpose of this? Helping people understand and get their belief in why there needs to be a change, and then helping the mindset of this is what it's going to look like. And now I get it. Okay, my attitude is good, that this is a reason why. And even, you know, being able to pull employees in and let's have focus groups and talk about what the change is going to be. And then they're on board and the action takes place. And that's when we used to have a year to,
right,
you know, transformation and structural changes and so forth. Organizations, like I said, just can't go at that pace anymore. And so what is happening is organizations are coming in and, you know, instead of going belief, mindset, action, they're just coming in and saying action. And they have to. Here's the action we need to take. Here's the transformation we need to have. What's happening is that they may get an action, but it's not changing the mindset and the belief that has to come at some point, or else it's not going to be sustainable. You're not going to have people engaged and so forth. And so even though that might be happening fast, it's not going to remain. And it's not, you're not going to have strong performance because you have to at some point have the other. And so how organizations need to do it now, and it's difficult, but this is where managers come involved, you know, leaders, change people who are influencers come into the process that make it so critical, their role so critical, is that the company has to take action and they have to say, this is what we're doing. But then also you have to at the same time be saying why, and this is what it's going to help. And this is, you know, the business case, the purpose and so forth. And so that is a constant, you know, balance that's hard to achieve. And it's uncomfortable for employees because they're having to behave before totally understanding and being on board with why. You know, it's with an organization where this one global market leader came in and was saying to a new, you know, to an end market, I need you to drive these products, not these others. And the sales teams were saying, you're not understanding. This is what our customers want. We've been doing this forever. You didn't even ask our opinion. And, you know, finally, after talking about why and here's the data and stuff, he finally just said, I need you to do it. This is what we're going to do. And I think you'll see why afterwards. And that was hard. And people were, you know, got their backs up and what? But they started doing it. And then they started to see why. And sometimes organizations just have to do that. And that is tough because employees aren't completely bought in. But I have seen when, and they did it, and they did see the change, by the way. Not always does it happen that way, but this time they did. And so I was over a region, and both regions had to be changing due to a global business strategy that was changing. And one organization, they, you know, said, we've got to take action. We have to do it fast. Trying to, you know, also have the mindset and the belief changed of why we're having to do it, but they acted fast. They didn't wait for everyone to get on board and bought in. And what happened is they did have some turnover, but also they were able to perform quickly, make the adjustment, and the performance was skyrocketing. And with that, the engagement also skyrocketed. So they had high performance, high engagement, and the turnover ended up slowing because they were so successful. And then they were able to, within 2 years, be from not, you know, even on the charts of as a great place to work to number two in the country. Another organization at the same time, going through the same changes, they were so afraid, the leadership was so afraid of turnover that they didn't make the changes, or they backed off when they started getting, you know, employees upset, and they waited to try to get people on board, to try to get them belief, to be in those conversations and so forth. And what happened is the change was so slow that performance plummeted, engagement plummeted. Now, they didn't have high turnover. That they achieved that. They didn't have high turnover, but they had low performance and low engagement. And that's the worst scenario that you can have. So it's hard for, you know, leadership to just say, we're going to do this. We believe in the strategy and we will get people as we go. But they have to be done at the same time due to, you know, how fast our marketplace and our world is going now.
That's so interesting. And it reminds me of when I, you know, when we made a shift from kind of waterfall development to a more agile development, and then we started applying that practice to other things. And so when it came to change, we learned that really having small incremental changes allowed you to fail fast and fail, you know, fail often, fail fast,
right?
And to move through that change, then it doesn't require as much getting people on board. You're able to push a little bit faster, but you're making maybe incremental change, not big sweeping change. So a little bit different, but
a good strategy.
Yeah.
If you have the time and able to do that. Yeah.
Right.
A great strategy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're having those, like you said, those quick fails, but also those quick wins.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
And I think the difference is, you know, people want change to happen with them. They want to be a part of it. And so what they're losing when they're going to fast action, what they're losing is the ability to do it with me. And what they feel is it's done to me. But when you can do it on both sides at the same time, then people understand actually it's being done for you. This is what we need for business performance. This is what we need to be successful. And so I'm not doing it to you. We're doing this for us so we can be successful. So it's just trying to change that mindset a bit. Yeah.
And what do you do in situations where there are employees that are on the front line that may know, they may see some of the obstacles accurately before a leader that's maybe five levels removed? How do you take into consideration that feedback loop when you're doing that?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. You need to have those feedback channels and, you know, having whatever you want to call them in your organization, coffee chats, ask me anything. Leadership visibility is one of the most critical things during this type of transformation. And so being able to have, you know, ask me anything and questions and what are you seeing? Also visibility in terms of teams, you know, if it's virtual teams, even if it's, you know, going into one of, you know, a staff meeting with the sales team or with a pro serve team and saying, what are you seeing? What are the pitfalls? What are some of the solutions that we can do? And helping them, you know, and that's the part of the manager as well, is to help them know what do they have control over, what they don't they have control over.
Yeah.
And one of the big things is to help them understand you have control over being able to give feedback. You don't have control over, you know, the decision for this direction, but what you do have control over is try it, feedback, come with solutions, all of those things. Try, you know, look for the positives. What is this going to give us? All of those types of things that can help, you know, to achieve the same goal.
Yeah. In my experience too, like having the leader, the highest level leader, share what the change is, but then the manager one-to-one sharing, here's what it means to you specifically. So you're right. Having that bit, like having the coffee chats and having leadership visible, but then the manager also being equipped.
Yes.
And I think we're going to do another episode on what the manager can do during change. So that'll be, that'll be great.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, again, it's those pre-wires of pre-wiring your leaders, pre-wiring your managers. So they've got some of the answers and the scripts and the business case and all of those things that they can have to speak to the change.
Yes. So what frameworks, like when you're looking at change, what frameworks have you used to assess a culture and really help leaders to understand where a change is needed?
Yeah. So again, anytime you go through a transformation, even if it's part of the organization that's shifting their strategy, it's important to look at, you know, all of those touch points from the talent practices, like you said, to the policies, to even the benefits. You know, I was in one organization where we were saying 401k and, you know, the match and this and those types of benefits, wonderful. But our target audience, and you have to think of it that way, just like your customers, our target audience, were graduates who were software engineers and, you know, straight out of school. And they were saying, I don't really care about my 401k yet. Mm-hmm. What I care about is, you know, these types of things. And so it's, you know, any type of change in the strategy, change in your who you need in order to achieve your goal at Fit for Purpose Talent, you have to look at then, you know, that inside out. Am I, you know, set up to attract the right people for this change in strategy? So, for instance, we went from in one organization from relationship selling in sales to having it be more expertise and helping them understand their own business and where this technology could help. And so that was a huge shift in, you know, the skill set, how some, not only just the sales approach, but also their knowledge. And so we then had to shift to then who do we need to attract and bring in, which then was, well, now what do they look for in an organization? So you can do it from, you know, your strategy shifting. So a great model is, again, Denison, of just looking at it to say, you know, we're listening to the marketplace, then do we know where we're going that's going to help us get there? Are our goals aligned, so forth, to then do we leverage our values, our systems, our practices to enable that? And then how are we bringing our employees along? So you can do that from the marketplace to the strategy to, you know, internal programs and practices. But you can also do that, the backing into it. So there's a great book called Fusion. Love this book because it talks about that inside out brand. And so are you who you say you are? So a great example is John Deere. Way long time ago, I won't date myself, but way long time ago. John Deere, as the products of farm products, machinery, you know, they get what it's like to be out in the fields with the farmers. However, what was happening is when they were going at, you know, farmers and people who were needing, you know, their equipment and their knowledge and expertise were going in, and they were seeing people in suits in the showrooms. And so they were like, wait a minute, this is not who you said you were. And so you can also do a, you know, kind of back into it from the outside in. We are saying we are this. Mm-hmm. Are we showing up as that? So another great example is that in this organization that I was in, we had a PE firm purchased by the organization. And so they were shifting the strategy, and it was from we are relationship. It was a technology company, and it was from we are heavy on our relationship and our, you know, customer focus in terms of building that bond, to we are the experts and we will show up as experts. Well, one of the things is that we had a value that was friends and family. And so, yes, friends and family, that it was great in the culture and it was so bonded, and people would say, I joined because of the friends and family. Problem with that was that our customers did not want us showing up as friends and family. Your core values tell your employees who you show up as for your customers, for each other, for the community. And so with a friends and family value, our employees were still in the mindset of this is our approach with our customers. And the customers were getting quite upset because they're like, you know, I don't want you to buy me a pizza. I want you to be the expert. I want you to come in knowing what you know. And so we had to take a step back and say, if we're saying this, that this is who we are with our customers, then how do we set our employees up for success? And that is understanding how we need to show up with our customers and our values. How do we, you know, how am I going to be recognized and reward? You know, all of those, again, those touch points that then help me be who we say we're going to be.
Yes. So important, and really drives, I mean, not just with the customers, but with future employees, right? That employer brand, how are you attracting that? Are you who you say you are when the employees right. get inside the organization?
Exactly. The same thing. Exactly. And that's why your talent brand has to be aligned with
yes.
or your external brand, because in order to be authentic, you have to be who you say you are. And so if that's you right. say you are business strategists, then you better be business strategist.
Right.
Internally. And I know that sounds like a no-brainer, but so many times I see in organizations that, you know, you say you're this, but you're not. A great example with a policy is, so the customers for this one product were very city, you know, focused. And so very much into the trends of things, the nightlife, the this. And so one of the best salespeople that we had, we brought in from the field to work on the market strategy because he was great in the sales in the fields. Well, when he came in, his hair was longer. He had an earring. He had tattoos on his arm. But the corporate policy was that you couldn't show tattoos. You couldn't have, you know, jewelry. Your hair had to, now this is of course dated a lot back, but it's a great example of,
yes.
And they made him cut his hair. And it was like, you took away everything that made him so powerful, yes, as an employee, because he understood the customer. And so that's what I mean by that. Even the policies need to align with who's your target customer? Who do you say you are? How do you want to show up now? How do you create that environment for employees and attract, you know, retain, engage employees based on that, because that sets them up for success in achieving the business strategy.
So important. And, you know, some of the stats we've been hearing for a long time that 50 to 70% of all change initiatives fail. You know, it used to be 70% for the longest time. I think they've said, well, it's not always 70%, you know, but the point is, right, that there's a lot of failure in organizational change, and 2/3 of workers experience burnout, which further causes transformation failure, right? As your employees get that, not only just the change fatigue, but burnout. And so I think really being intentional, back to our word of intention, and how we go through organizational change without leaving the culture behind. This has been just a beautiful conversation, Emily. I am so excited for our next one. You're just such an expert in this field, and it's so fun.
And
to,
so are you.
It's fun to geek out with you.
It is fun to geek out with you. We'll keep doing it.
All right, Emily, thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a great conversation, just chock full of so much great information. So many takeaways. Here they are. Number one, the purpose of culture is to retain, engage, attract, and be a great place to work. But it has to be directly designed to enable your specific company strategy. A culture should be tailored to your organization. Number two, fit-for-purpose talent is the talent needed to achieve your business imperatives. Number three, if employees aren't aligned with your business objective, if they express lack of clarity, low engagement scores, poor company performance, this indicates that one or more of your culture touchpoints aren't aligned. Number four, when shifting your organizational structure, or if you're making large transformational change, you have to shift your culture at the same time. You have to let employees know what expectations you have of them in this new way of doing things. Number five, shifting your vision means redefining your strategy and sometimes changing a core value or two. Number six, 1/3 of organizations are going through transformations at any point in time, and the speed at which organizations are expected to change has increased. Number seven, a sustainable action or behavior comes from changing the belief and mindset of individuals. But the speed at which change needs to happen makes the role of the manager or direct supervisor so important through these changes. Number eight, people want change to happen with them, not to them. Leaders need to show them how the change is for them. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave me a review. And if you have not subscribed yet, I hope you will. Join us next week for a great episode with Emily as we dive into the role of the manager in change and in your culture.